Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We begin with some unfortunate news involving a prominent U.S. men's national team player. Sergiño Dest picked up a knee injury in training with PSV on Saturday. It's been called a serious injury that's going to keep him out for an extended period. We haven't seen an official timetable yet, but it looks like he will miss the Copa America this summer. How big a loss is that for the U.S.?
It's huge because for, well, not all his faults. He has very few faults. As a matter of fact, I think he is, when he is healthy, an in-pen starter for this national team and has been vital in terms of up and down that right-hand side, providing, you know, an incredible talent and ability with the ball, incredible speed. And the big problem for Greg Berhalter and this team is nobody, like the number nine position, has yet stepped up and even challenged, even remotely challenged. And at times in the past, when we have seen players play in that position, the Scallies and stuff, they have not shown that they're even close to stepping into his shoes right now. So it also does provide Greg Berhalter with possibilities of doing some different things.
Yes. Let's remind you, in the Nations League semifinals against Jamaica, Dest was suspended. Joe Scally started and was so poor that Greg Berhalter yanked him off at halftime and moved Weston McKennie to right back in the second half. We should also note that during a guest appearance on this pod, Stu Holden advocated for Timmy Weah to be the U.S.'s right back. We've moved one step closer to that potentially being a reality. While Fran Arthur, who's visiting us today, also dropping takes, she thinks the U.S. should play in a back three in light of this injury.
Well, that would, in a strange way, that would put a value on Dest, the likes of which we have never seen, in a fundamental change of structure and lineup based simply on the unavailable Dest. So that's an amazing compliment in a strange way. I'm not saying that the U.S. under Greg Berhalter can't and at times has shown the ability to play in a back three, but in this tournament to start out with that, it's interesting. I do like the way a thing we have seen that, and we're trying to fit a lot of players on the field, and that's one way to get it. It would also be fundamentally changing the mindset of the way you're going out in that, you know, not that Dest is, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, just completely defensive. He's completely not, as a matter of fact. But this, I think it would, I'm up for it, actually. If we're going to do it, let's, I guess, go big and go home this summer in terms of having way a play out there on that right-hand side, and then you could have a, you know, you could have a Weah and Reyna type of situation out there. You could have all sorts of things. But if and when Weah is there, it's for his ability to get forward and to almost, to Fran's point, be a back three with his ability to go forward.
Great to see Fran Arthur, by the
wonderful
way. Our colleague
wonderful
here at Fox visiting
wonderful
us.
She's doing great. She's telling me about the craziness that is her son, evidently a burgeoning outside back with the energy. So maybe, who knows? A little early now, but, you know, had he been around, or if he's around in 15 years, he can certainly take old man Dest's spot with no problem.
Fran, as a Barcelona fan, be interested to see what this means for Dest at club level. It sounds like right. He's leaning towards signing permanently with PSV. He's still on loan from Barcelona. If this is a serious injury, I've seen some reports that he could be out as much as 9 months. That's not confirmed, but would PSV still want to sign him permanently? What would that mean for his club future?
It's just the worst timing for him and for the U.S., and for, you know, the individual player, and who knows what he is going to be. You know, we talked so much about Tyler Adams and the long-term injury that they suffer, and are they going to be, or can they be, the same type of player coming back? And so that remains to be seen. But next man up, who knows? Maybe there'll be somebody that will step up this summer. I know I had X'd, I guess you call it, this morning with somebody who was making the case that the Olympics are more important. But who knows? Maybe we see somebody in the Olympics, or maybe we even see someone with Greg Berhalter that we haven't talked about or that we haven't seen has shown the ability to step into that position, use this opportunity, because for every person's loss, there's another person's opportunity, especially when it comes to sports and whether it's injury or whether it's behavior off the field, whether it's new coaching, all that kind of stuff. When that opportunity arises, as it has happened here on that right back position, you better be ready to step up. But we haven't seen anything yet. So hopefully we'll see something this summer. Where should we go now?
FA Cup semis this past weekend. On Saturday, Manchester City beat Chelsea 1-0. Bernardo Silva with a late winner. Then Sunday, Manchester United faced second-tier Coventry City. United led 3-0 with 20 minutes left, thanks to goals by McTominay, Maguire, and Bruno Fernandes. Then Coventry staged one of the most improbable comebacks you'll ever see. Sims 3-1, O'Hare 3-2. And in stoppage time, Haji right from the penalty spot 3-3. We go to extra time. In the last minute of extra time, Haji Wright sets up Torp for the dramatic game winner, but VAR spots an offsides in the buildup. Goal chalked off. We go to penalties. Haji Wright converts his, but two of his teammates not as fortunate. United prevail. Not how we drew it up, but for the second straight year, we do end up with a Manchester City-Manchester United FA Cup final.
Yeah, nobody could have predicted how we ultimately got there, but we still get here with this delicious type of final. Let's get rid of the Man City-Chelsea game. Obviously, Man City coming off of the disappointment of going out in Europe, and they came out there and they were professional. They were deep, which is what we talk about it, and they got the win against a Chelsea team that certainly we have been critical of in terms of what they are, but put up a good fight. And I guess at this point, when you're talking about Chelsea, that's something that you can hang your hat on if you're Chelsea. So congratulations to Man City. They appear in yet another final for the potential for silverware here. But the big talking point and the big game was Coventry and Manchester United. And the fact that so many saw this, even though it is a win, and by the way, a win to send them to yet another final and the opportunity, the unlikely opportunity in this given time of this mediocre Manchester United team to actually win. But I think a lot of fans, I think a lot of pundits out there, And I'll bet probably there's a lot of players out there that will look at it almost as if they lost. And yet, they have the opportunity to, at the end of the day, stand with a trophy, which is mind-boggling given what Ten Hag is and isn't and what this team is and isn't.
I think we've identified the one person in Casemiro whose big takeaway from that City Real Madrid shootout was, I really like that Bernardo Silva penalty because he tried to recreate it a few days later and looked equally stupid.
First off, I think the criticism, and correct me if I'm wrong, is certainly warranted for a team, even this mediocre version of Manchester United, to give up this lead and this what seemed insurmountable type of situation of being up 3-0. And yet, and look, sometimes the soccer gods do different things, and there were deflections, there were strange goals. That is certainly going to happen. But you would expect this type of team, or would you expect this type of team? You would expect Ten Hag, or would you expect Ten Hag to be able to do the things off the field that relate to what happens on the field, to put this one away, to see it out, whatever phrase that you want to use. And yet they didn't. Was this just one of those crazy days, or was this yet another point that we can look at and say, this is a mediocre team, this is a mediocre coach, and they're lucky as hell to even be in this position to play in a final?
Yeah, I think the latter.
Okay. All right.
I think this reflects some serious problems, how you could blow a game like that. That would have been maybe the worst loss in Manchester United history. I don't think Ten Hag is going to be back regardless, but that would have been game over for him. Now, if they have a strong ending to the Premier League campaign and beat Manchester City in the FA Cup final, he would at least have a case to make.
You do think he still has a case? I don't think he, I mean, yeah, you're being very generous.
I'm being generous. I'm 99% sure he's not going to be back.
We've talked about him over the years, and there's nothing interesting. There's nothing inspiring. There's nothing energetic about him. Now, on the other side, and even though it's ultimately in a losing effort, Haji Wright, this guy just cannot be stopped. He is a machine. He is in rarefied air. For the individual and certainly relative to American history when it comes to players and finals and what he did. And, you know, if not for the existence of VAR, he might have been man of the match and led his team to a final. So congratulations to him and congratulations to Coventry to even be able to come back and even make it to that point. But this is fun to see. I'm not sure he can put his finger on why this is all happening, nor should he even try. Just ride it, my friend. And it's fun to see, obviously, relative to the U.S. Men's National Team. And we've been not critical, but maybe more dismissive of Haji Wright relative to the nine position or to any type of position up there. But he just keeps forcing the issue.
He is going to be a tough player to keep off that Copa America roster because of his versatility. He can play down the middle and he can play down the wings.
We're going to talk a lot here about VAR and what VAR is.
Well, we should go there because I mentioned there was an offside in the buildup. It was Haji Wright who was slightly offsides. VAR's popularity was not enhanced by chalking off that goal, but you thought it was the right decision.
Yeah, I thought it was the right decision. There was a lot of hand-wringing going on about VAR. A lot of it emanating from our friends over there in England, which, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about the Schadenfreude and all that kind of stuff going forward. By the way, I will say this puts Haji Wright in some really interesting company here. Fourth American to score at Wembley in a club match. Mike Masters back in 1992. Quick story about Mike Masters. He was one of these players and a long list of players that were just rotated into our residential program in Mission Viejo, California, as we trained for the 94 World Cup. And here's an example of a player who was very good at being that post-up type of Zlatan-ish type of player up top. Now, he's not Zlatan, but that in that mold, that just didn't fit in. I remember when he came into the national team and, you know, he was doing things overseas, which made him unique relative to a lot of American players, but came in and it just didn't fit. And sometimes that's just the case. Doesn't mean you're a bad player. It just means in that moment, for that group, it just doesn't work. Haji Wright joins Mike Masters back in 1992, John Harkes and Christian Pulisic scoring in these finals. So congratulations to Haji Wright.